Morning. Welcome to early morning prayer on this Friday morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel 15 verses 30 and 31. First Samuel 15, verses 30 and 31. It says, Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. I just pray for your presence to come and fill this place, fill our hearts. Would you speak to us? And we just wanna worship you this morning and hear your word this morning and spend time with you this morning. Thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I even have a title for this morning's EMP message, and I'm calling it, Do You Want the Appearance of Wholeness, or Do You Want Actual Wholeness? Do you want the appearance of wholeness, or do you want actual wholeness? And in this passage, well, before we talk about this passage, I want to talk about King Saul. Many of you are probably familiar with King Saul. He was the first king of Israel, and he's actually quite a tragic figure because he was appointed by God to lead the people of Israel, and God was ready to bless him with all these blessings. But Saul failed. He failed to honor God. He failed to obey God. And therefore, he gets removed from his kingdom. And King David is the one that takes his place after King Saul dies. And I believe if you read through the book of 1 Samuel and read about the life of King Saul, you find that one of King Saul's greatest problems was that he feared the opinions of people more than he feared the opinion of God. So he was always looking out for what people would say about him rather than worrying about what God was saying and trying to walk in obedience to what God was saying to him. So you read that first time after he becomes king, they're supposed to go into battle and they get an army together and they're lined up and they're ready to go. But Samuel had instructed Saul, hey, wait for me to come before you go into battle because I'm going to come and offer the sacrifice and then you're going to go into battle. So they're gathered together, but the army can look out and see that there is a greater army waiting for them for battle. So King Saul is there and he's waiting for Samuel to come to do this offering, but Samuel is late in his coming. So King Saul decides on his own, okay, fine, I'm just going to offer this sacrifice to God because Samuel is not coming and my men are scattering and they're afraid and they're losing heart because they can see their enemy. And so Saul just decides in his heart right there and then that he's going to offer this sacrifice. So when Samuel comes right after King Saul offers the sacrifice, and Samuel says, why did you do this? You are not supposed to offer a sacrifice. That's not your job. Your job is to be a king. My job is to be the priest and to offer the sacrifice. And Saul says, hey, because you were late, my men were scattering. I was losing control of them. They were getting afraid of their enemy. So I wanted to make sure that they were with me. You know, he was afraid of what people were going to do. So he offers the sacrifice. First time being disobedient to God. And then the second time, right before our passage today, King Saul is instructed by God to go and attack the people of Amalek. God basically says, you need to go and punish the Amalekites because they have done a great evil against Israel. So I want you to go and attack and punish this people and basically completely annihilate everything when you go and fight this war against them. So God gives King Saul victory because King Saul is acting in accordance to what God is asking him to do. But after he gets the victory, when the instructions were clear, the instruction through Samuel to King Saul was clear that he were to destroy everything, every person, child, infant, man, woman, cattle, sheep, everything was to be destroyed. Nothing was to be left over. But King Saul, after he wins the battle, takes plunder. He keeps the good sheep, he keeps the good cattle, and he keeps the king of Amalek alive. And Samuel hears the word of the Lord that says, hey, King Saul has disobeyed once again. So Samuel is upset. So he goes to King Saul, and Samuel says, hey, what did you do? And King Saul just says, hey, don't worry, I obeyed the word of the Lord. I did what you told me to do. I defeated the Amalekites. But then Samuel says, hey, then what is this bleeding of sheep that I hear? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? What is going on? And King Saul says, yeah, no, don't worry. I obey the word of the Lord, but I kept the best of the sheep and the best of the cattle because I wanted to sacrifice them to the Lord. He's totally making up this excuse. And Samuel says, you know what? God doesn't care about sacrifice. He wants you to be obedient to him. And then Samuel eventually says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as king. And then Saul is like, oh no, I'm going to lose my position as king. And then he repents and says, Samuel, actually, I messed up. I'm sorry. The people wanted to keep the plunder, and I didn't want to go against the wishes of the people. Right? It was the opinions of man that Saul feared the most, so even the word of the Lord wasn't enough to keep him obeying God. So that was Saul's problem. And even in today's passage, he's more concerned with people than he is with God. This is right after Samuel rebukes him hardcore, and Saul says, hey, you know what? I'm sorry that I sinned, but can you please come with me? Because I don't want to be dishonored before my men. I don't want my men to think that something has happened to me and that I'm no longer king. He's more concerned with what people are going to think than he is with what God thinks of him. And so that's my question to us today. Are you more concerned? Do you want the appearance of wholeness in your life, or do you want to actually be whole? And you know, every good story needs a foil, right? A foil is another character that kind of opposes this one character so that you can see the qualities of this character. And I believe a good foil to King Saul is King David. You know, King David was a man, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. You know, and the difference isn't that King David was perfect. You know, King David was also a sinner, and he also made mistakes, and he also sinned before the Lord. But when King David was made aware of his sin, he repented. He repented truly before God. He was more concerned with what God thought of him than what people thought of him. And his relationship with God was more important than his reputation, than his kingdom, than his dignity. And he had this attitude that said, whatever it takes, whatever it takes for me to restore my relationship with God, I'm going to do. Even if it means I'm going to be dishonored before people, even if it means I'm going to lose my dignity, I'm going to do whatever it takes to restore my relationship with God and to have that favor with God again. I just want to share with you a little story. There was once a famous worship leader. And he wrote this amazing song on this one album. I don't want to give you too much detail, but he wrote this amazing song, and this song was on this album, and this album got sold to all around the world, and this song was so powerful. Everybody was singing it. The testimony of his song was on YouTube everywhere, because the testimony was that he had cancer, and out of his cancer experience, God had given him this song. A powerful song. So he had written this song out of this experience with God through his cancer, through his struggle with cancer. And on the DVD of that CD, he's up there on stage with an oxygen mask, and he's got this oxygen tank because he's having trouble breathing because of his cancer. And he's singing this song about the power of God to heal. And this song was so powerful. I mean, if you heard this song, you were crying. You know, everybody cried. Everybody was like, this song is so powerful. And Everybody was singing it. And then, I don't know, a few months later, this story comes out on the news that this worship pastor was actually faking his sickness. He was faking his cancer, that he didn't really have cancer, but what he had was an addiction to pornography, and because of the agony of being an addiction to pornography but not being able to tell anyone, he was actually getting physically sick. So his symptoms of sickness were real, but it wasn't cancer, and he was hiding that the whole time. And he wrote this song, and this song became powerful. But when that truth came out, everybody turned against him, and, you know, it was just crazy. I remember being so disappointed and so hurt and so like, what the heck is going on? You know, how could this guy be in sin but write this powerful song, and now we can't sing this song at church anymore, and what's going on? And distraught. But just a few months ago, I don't know, I looked him up again. I looked him up again, and I was wondering what was happening with him. And you know what? I honestly believe that even though that was a painful experience for him, and a shameful experience, and just a real difficult time, I think that might have been one of the best things that had happened to him. Because if it didn't come out in the public like this, he might have never dealt with this issue of pornography. He might never have truly repented and come clean before God and attained this wholeness. And instead, he would have had just the appearance of wholeness. You know, even though it was a difficult time, maybe somebody prayed for him. Maybe somebody said, God, whatever it takes for this man to be set free, whatever it takes for this man to be whole and to restore his relationship before you do it. And then God orchestrates this whole thing, and this thing happens. It comes out to the public so he can no longer pretend like everything's okay, but he has to deal with the problem. And he has to come clean before God. But in a way, that's the best thing that could happen for him, because now he has true wholeness, not just an appearance of wholeness. And so that's my question to you this morning. Do you want the appearance of wholeness? Are you satisfied with looking good in front of people, with having dignity and keeping up your reputation with people? Or do you really want to go after God, and do you really want to restore this wholeness and this relationship with God? And the good news for us today is that wholeness is available to us, you know? When Jesus Christ died on the cross and he finished the work on the cross for us, he wanted to give us wholeness. He didn't want us to just give us an appearance of wholeness. He wanted to truly restore this relationship that we have with God and this wholeness that we can have with God. And so it's available to us, and it's we can take it, but we just need to take some steps to really go after it, you know? And I mean, I admit sometimes when it's ministry time in the morning, in the church, and let's say the preacher gives an amazing message and it speaks to your heart, it speaks to my heart, but then I think, but I'm the pastor. I can't stand and receive ministry. I think I should be praying for people and blah, blah, blah. All these things, these thoughts come into me, and I think to myself, do I want the appearance of wholeness or do I want wholeness? And I need to tell myself, no, I'm just going to go after God. It's not about my reputation. It's not about what people are going to think of me. I mean, I should be more concerned. The relationship that I have with God and the wholeness that I can have before God is more important than my reputation, than my dignity, than anything else, than my work or whatever, you know? So I just want to encourage us, you know, if you're going through something and there's an opportunity, there's Cascade at church, there's different ministry times, there's your house church, you need to let people know and come into the light. And instead of just worrying about your reputation, what people will think of you, worry about what God would say and worry about your relationship with God and truly do everything that it takes, whatever it takes for you to restore that wholeness and restore that relationship with God. I encourage you to just take those steps because it's available to you and it's going to be better. You know, your wholeness with God, wholeness in your heart, fully restored relationship with God is going to be better than anything that you can have in this world through you know, good work or high reputation or having honor before men or anything like that. So let's go into a time of worship and let's just seek after God's heart and allow the Holy Spirit to just kind of speak to us about this issue. You know, are you like King Saul, concerned with the opinion of man, or are you like King David, you know, who really considered his relationship with God more important than the opinion of man?
Refuge, your spirit lives within my heart. I draw closer to you, Lord, I long to see your face, high in your embrace. All my life, dwelling in your holy place, my heart, oh Lord, you change, I'll never be the same. Every day, I draw closer to you, Lord, long to see your face, high in your embrace. All my life, dwelling in your holy place, my heart, oh Lord, you change, I'll never be the same. Never be the same. Never be the same. Oh to you, Lord, long to see your face, high in your embrace. All my life, dwelling in your holy place, my heart, oh Lord, you change, and never be the same. Never be the same.
Let's go to our group prayer focus for today. Let's go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for our members that are going through cancer and different kinds of illness. Let's pray that God would bless them and bring healing to them. So let's lift them up together. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for our church family members that need healing, physical healing, but also spiritual healing, salvation, for them to come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So let's pray for our family members there. And let's also just pray for different infirmities that people are going through. Let's pray for God's healing to be upon them.
Let's go to our third slide. Let's pray for our family members at church that are still looking for a job. Let's pray that God would bless them and give them favor and lead them to the right people, right companies. Let's pray for God's favor upon them. Let's go to our Friday mission focus. We're going to pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray for the local churches. And let's pray for the YWAM Hong Kong ministry, for Sports Services International, Shanti Ministry with Godwin Masters Beauty with Fabi and the Red Light District Outreach that Kelly from YWAM runs. Let's pray for these ministries at YWAM. Let's pray for face-to-face with Jimmy that they'll be able to bring the healing of God through their counseling ministry. Let's pray for Zengsheng College, Feed the Hungry with Armanda, Christian Solidarity Worldwide with Anil. So let's pray for all the work that they do in Hong Kong, all the local ministries. Let's pray for our mission trip to Indonesia happening in July 11th to 15th. And also there's a local mission trip in Hong Kong, July 30th to August 4th. So let's just pray for our mission trips, that all the planning and just the anointing of God to be upon the team. So let's pray for our mission trips coming up. Let's pray for our SP ministries. Let's pray for the worship team, the sound and media team, the welcoming and hospitality team, and the barista ministry. Let's pray that God would anoint each of the ministries and that all the ministries will be able to be a real blessing to the church, and that there will be a real enthusiasm and that people will be excited and really committed to these different ministries. So let's pray for the SP ministries. Let's lift up the house churches meeting today and this weekend. Let's pray for the McCain House Church today, Mac Daddy meeting on Saturday, and Bel Air House Church meeting on Saturday. So let's pray for our house churches, and let's also pray for the SP weekend activities. Friday, there is intercessory prayer tonight. Let's pray that they'll be able to really pray well according to the Spirit of God. And the worship team, we're going away on a worship team retreat starting today, and we'll be coming back on Saturday. Please pray for us that we'll have a great time bonding and learning and growth. And let's pray for just the Sunday service. Let's pray for Noah's Ark in the morning. Please pray for the youth group in the morning, and let's pray for Pastor Sam as he will be giving the message this Sunday. And and then Cascade on Monday. So let's pray for our weekend activities and all the house churches meeting today and tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you for your word, and thank you for your presence, God. Help us to really hear from you, God, and to consider you, your opinion, more important, God, than the opinions of man, God. That we will not walk in the fear of man, but that we will walk in fear of God. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with us this week. This weekend, I pray that there will be power released, God, in this place as we gather together for worship and as we have the hearing of the word. And even in Noah's Ark and youth group, God, that just the power and the presence of God will be there. That something of the Spirit of God will be released, Lord, in our meetings, God, this weekend. And be with us today. Help us to live for you, give you glory, God, through all that we do, and to walk in your love and in your presence, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you and we worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.